by the prayers of many people and the support of a army of people that are helping to make this project realize, so that when those doors open November 2017, that it will be a statement of not what, as you mentioned, one family or one organization has done, but a movement of people, yes, to see the Bible be brought back to Washington, D.C.
Welcome to Think About It, a podcast from Houston Baptist University here in Houston, Texas. At HBU, we empower our students so their beliefs can fuel their lives. From our competitive nursing program to our world-renowned theologians, we prepare our students to thrive at the university level and beyond.
I'm Jeremiah Johnston, and Christian Thinker Society is dedicated to training Christians and pastors to become thinkers and thinkers to become Christians. I have been so excited about this interview today. We have joining us in studio two very special guests that have flown here from New York City, and their names are Michael and Lauren McAfee. Michael and Lauren, welcome to the program. It's so great to have you with us today.
Thanks. Yeah, it's great to be here.
Michael is the Director of Bible Engagement for Museum of the Bible, and Lauren is the Director of Community Engagement for Museum of the Bible. Now, you may have not heard about one of the most exciting things happening right now in the United States, and that is the construction of a $1 billion Museum of the Bible just two blocks from our nation's capital in Washington, D.C. And just to set the context for our audience, only a few weeks ago, I found myself among 40 other leaders in Santiago, Cuba, and we were there as a commission from Museum of the Bible, and the Museum of the Bible was presenting Bible artifacts and the story of the Bible to Cubans free of charge for five whole weeks. And this was notable because just a few weeks later, our president, the first president in 88 years to step foot on Cuban soil, made a visit to Cuba. Of course, the Bible preceded him there, thanks to our good friends at Museum of the Bible. I want you to know about this exciting new initiative, and we have two very, very interesting people here to tell us all about it. And so I want you to follow Lauren McAfee on Twitter. Her Twitter handle is at Lauren A. McAfee, and Michael is at Michael McAfee. Be sure and follow them because they put out incredible content that I know that you and your church family are going to want to know about. So Lauren, let's begin with you, Director of Community Engagement for Museum of the Bible. Guide us by the hand, if you would. What is Museum of the Bible? Lauren has this amazing distinction of being the first employee of the Museum of the Bible. What is the Museum of the Bible and what's the mission?
Yeah, the Museum of the Bible started just a little over 6 years ago with a collection of artifacts and a dream for having a museum in either, we were looking at a few different cities, Dallas, New York City, or Washington, D.C. So we had this collection, we wanted to share it with the world and have a world-class museum dedicated to the Bible. And it found a building in Washington, D.C. Just a few years ago, and it's under construction today. It'll be at 8 stories, 430,000 square feet, just a few blocks from the Capitol and a few blocks from the National Mall and the Air and Space Museum, which is one of the most attended museums in D.C. And we open in, just about a year and a half, the fall of 2017. So the museum is just one of the aspects of what the organization as a whole encompasses. Mm-hmm. So the DC Museum is, in anticipation in a year and a half opening, but we also have traveling exhibits, which we've had going on for years around the United States as well as around the world. Scholars initiatives, we have education programs, and a number of different things that we have going on with the actual Museum of the Bible.
Excellent. Now reach back for us. How did this vision begin? What started it? What prompted it? And why are you involved?
Well, my family has had a love for the Bible for generations. And we've been involved in Bible-related projects throughout the years. And through just the blessing of success in business with Hobby Lobby, we've been able to support different initiatives relating to the Bible. And so when this opportunity for Museum of the Bible came about, we were really excited about this vision to see the Bible be highlighted and engaged on this level of a national museum dedicated to the Bible. So it began with just a private collection of artifacts. And then when we quickly had one of the largest private collections in the world, yes, we wanted to steward them well, and that was kind of what began the museum. But it began really decades and generations ago with a love for the Bible that has been instilled in generations of my family, and wanting to see the Bible be engaged. And it is the most important book in the world and of all time. It's the most read book, the most debated book, the most also controversial book. Many debates go on about this book, and we think it should be in the conversation and people being invited to engage with it in new ways because of its incredible importance.
Well, and the Bible is the best-selling book of all time. It's amazing. We buy 25 million copies of a book that most of us, at least in North America, already own on an annual basis. Yeah. It's amazing. Well, Michael, tell us about Bible engagement for Museum of the Bible. What does that look like? And tell us about your role there and how we can be involved.
Right, absolutely. Well, you just hit on it. The Bible is the most engaged book. It's not only the best-selling book of all time, it's the best-selling book every single year. And we found that when we conducted a major survey to find not only where the museum would be best attended, but would there be interest in attending a museum dedicated to the Bible, we were astonished that we expected kind of a small minority to be very passionate and a small minority to be dispassionate and a very disinterested or mildly interested middle. We found overwhelming interest. That when we surveyed, we asked Americans to name a book they considered sacred or holy, 86% of Americans named the Bible. The next closest book was at 10%. A huge drop-off from the Bible to the Quran was the next closest book. And so Americans own a Bible, over 90%. They believe the Bible, 86%, considering it sacred or holy, but they don't read the Bible that often. About two-thirds of Americans read the Bible a few times a year or less. And so we said, okay, what does it look like then for the museum to partner with other organizations like Christian Thinkers Society, local churches, conferences, colleges and universities around the world that are already working to engage people in this book? How can we partner together so that we can draw people into studying this book, to reading this book, even people who maybe have given up on the church or given up on the thought of Christianity, to say, hey, would you look again at the Bible and just read it for yourself? Come to your own conclusions about whether or not it's the Word of God, about whether or not its claims are real and are truth. And so so it's been a thrill to work with the museum to find what does this look like to help support churches and pastors and ministries all over the world to say, hey, we can, we have all these different initiatives and ministries and convictions that we have about the Bible that we can set aside and come together around the one thing that brings us all together, which is this book that we've been given. And so the Museum of the Bible's mission is to invite all people to engage with the Bible, and any organization that wants to do the same, we're happy to partner with to that end.
Wow. And I love that mission because the Bible can't be claimed by one group or one denomination or one ism. The Bible is a book for all people. And I so appreciate the mission of the Museum of the Bible, the singular mission to engage, to invite everyone to engage with the Bible. We saw this in Cuba, where many Cubans have never had the privilege to hold a Bible in their hand. Cubans were invited, and they came by the hundreds, if not the thousands, in the first few days to learn about this book. That's just 90 miles from the shores of Florida, where, again, most Americans, I think the average American owns 4.4 Bibles. I mean, it's hard for us to believe, and yet there is a hunger. And we've even seen this, what I identify and that resonates with us at Christian Thinker Society, because as our audience knows, we do events at Baptist churches, Lutheran churches, non-denominational churches, Catholic parishes. We do events everywhere, in museums, other universities. Of course, we're a resident institute here at Houston Baptist University. But we're seeing, even though there's that biblical literacy, people want to know more about the Bible.
Right.
They don't know why they don't know more about the Bible. We have the most educated Christians of all time sitting in our pews. They're more educated, they're more successful, and yet they're more biblically literate. And this is what I love about the Museum of the Bible. You all are inviting people into the story of the Bible. And can you just take us through, Lauren, the different levels? You mentioned the, how high that this museum, the breadth of it. I mean, this is not just a few books and some room in Washington, D.C. Take us through the different levels, the influence, the impact, et cetera. And then tell us also about the partnerships with the Vatican and Israel as well.
Right. So we have this wonderful collection of over 40,000 artifacts, but we're also partnering with other incredible collections to display some of their amazing artifacts that some have never even been seen by the world before. So keep that in mind. We're going to have literally
amazing.
Millions of materials available to display at the museum to be able to tell these three different stories that we want to focus on. That is the history of the Bible. How did we get the Bible? Stories of translation, transmission, canonization. Mm-hmm. Also, the impact of the Bible. It has had an incredible impact, not only on our world, but on even individual areas of culture.
Absolutely.
Things that we wouldn't think about even. So medicine, how has it impacted the medical world and hospitals and science. So sharing the impact of the Bible in all these different ways, as well as the narrative of the Bible. So what are the stories of the Bible that create this one overarching story of the book that is the Bible? So we want to take people through these different floors, and we want to do it in a very engaging, interactive way so that it's not going into an old dusty museum like some people might think of, but really using top of the line in technology as well as tour guide tablets that you can kind of get a really personalized experience.
Yes.
Because the museum is going to be so big that it would take a person 9 8-hour days to see everything there is to see in the museum. Because besides these three floors, we have a restaurant, we'll have a coffee shop, there's a theater, like a fly-through experience, all of these aspects that people won't want to miss out. So we'll have a tablet experience where you can come in and enter some data about your interests and how much time
you
have.
So it's interactive.
It is, and it'll say, it'll be very personalized. You can also enter the level of information you want. So if you're a scholar and you want the really in-depth material, great, we will provide that. Or if you have kids and you need, a child's education level, we can provide that as well. So whatever and anything in between. So we'll provide these kind of personalized tours so that you can make sure you hit all of the things that are of particular interest to you.
Yes.
So we want to definitely be very engaging and make it unique for each individual to have a great experience and see the highlights of the Bible in our museum.
Wow.
And we're also going to have technology all throughout on every level. We'll have 3D interactives and an experience where you feel like you're literally flying through Washington, D.C. on our flyboard experience, seeing different inscriptions of the Bible all throughout D.C. just to show, the Bible is all around us because of its impact in our country. There are many different aspects of the museum that will be an interest to anyone and everyone.
Well, that's amazing. What I love about this Museum of the Bible is this is something that every one of us watching this program right now can get behind. We all appreciate the Bible. We think the Bible is a book that is to be valued, it's to be honored, it's to be celebrated. I think we can say without any argument that the Bible has been a force for good in the world. I don't know who invented the refrigerator, but I sure like having cold drinks. I don't know who invented the cell phone technology. I appreciate that technology. Did you know many of the amenities and the freedoms that we enjoy in society find their place from the Bible? The Bible is the foundation of those freedoms. The Bible is the foundational ideas that all men are created equal. The Bible has been a force for good. And so, this is something that if you're watching right now, first you're probably like I was the first time you heard about the Museum of the Bible. You're stunned, you're excited, and then you're like me. You want to get involved, you want to engage. And so this is not something that one family or one organization can do alone. If you're a pastor listening to this right now, I want to encourage you to tell your people about the Museum of the Bible. In fact, I want to let the Director of Bible Engagement, Michael, to tell us for a minute how can people get involved? People are getting really excited listening to both of you right now. What do you want us to do?
Yeah, so our landing page for churches, we only share privately with church partners and ministry partners. So it's museumofthebible.org/church.
Okay.
And we've got a special kind of newsletter sign up that you can get information. We have a lot of opportunities to get involved, so they can become an official church partner simply by sharing about our project, asking people to join in with a special campaign that we have called the 1 Million Names Campaign. And we will equip them so that they can have a special Bible Sunday that we're celebrating on November 13th, where we're hopeful that we'll have over 1,000 churches and 1 million people worldwide celebrating the importance of this book, like you mentioned, in society, acknowledging and praying that it would be translated translated into every language known today. We have 6,000 languages, 2,000 of the Bible, 2,000 in progress, and 2,000 completely untouched.
Wow.
And so we want to see all people be able to access this book all around the world. And then finally, that we would be educated on it, that there would be a rise in biblical literacy, because we are the most biblically illiterate generation in the history of our country. And so so that's a couple of the ways that we've asked for churches to be involved. And the biggest thing really is prayer. And that's not just a cliche statement, but there is going to be opposition in a project as controversial as holding up the Bible in a museum that's the most technologically advanced museum in the world, that's the largest museum under construction in the world today. I mean, this is we have a giant bullseye on our back, and it's going to be by the prayers of many people and the support of a army of people that are helping to make this project realize, so that when those doors open November 2017, that it will be a statement of not what, as you mentioned, one family or one organization has done, but a movement of people to see the Bible be brought back to Washington, D.C. next November.
Amazing. 80% of Americans believe the Bible is the Word of God, and yet less than half can find any time to read it. And we want to turn back the tide. I don't want to just talk about it. I want to be part of a movement that is seeing those numbers go in the direction that where everyone is engaging with the Bible, where people are reading the Bible. And so I want to encourage you to be part of Museum of the Bible. Go to www.museumofthebible.com. And of course, I want you to follow Michael and Lauren on Twitter. That's at Michael McAfee on Twitter and at Lauren A. McAfee on Twitter. Because you're going to want to stay in touch. And there are a lot of other people, a lot of other organizations that are involved with Museum of the Bible. I mean, Chris Tomlin, we all love his worship. He's involved. Of course, Rick Warren, Pastor Rick Warren, and then there's some wonderful people from the Jewish and Catholic communities who are behind this museum, which we are so thankful for. And so talk for a minute about this Million Names campaign, because this is something that is tangible. Definitely, we're going to pray. In fact, I hope you'll write November 2017, put down in your Bible and in your prayer journal right now, and begin praying every day for this opening. It is essential that we pray. But it is also essential that we get off our blessed assurance and we all get skin in the game to support Museum of the Bible. This is something I want to look back on and share with my children that, you know what, we were part of that. We played a small role in supporting something that is going to change culture. It's going to change societies. I was filling out my Million Names campaign card, and I was filling it out with four names, and I had to adjust it because my wife is pregnant with triplets. So now we have seven names. What exactly is, you mentioned it, you touched on it briefly, what is the Million Names campaign? And is that something everyone can be involved with, or just leaders, or is that something, who can be involved with the Million Names campaign? Who are you inviting?
So in the same way that the Museum of the Bible is inviting all people to engage the Bible, the 1 Million Names campaign is for all people. So regardless if you're our lead sponsor and you're donating millions of dollars, or if you're a single mom with a couple of kids and all you can sacrifice is a few Starbucks drinks and send that in to us, we want to honor all people that supported this project. And so the Million Names campaign is for that. It's a donor wall with no minimum. And so our dream is that when those giant bronze doors open to the public, that there will be government leaders and city leaders and world leaders that come through and see on a wall the names of 1 million people that haven't gone before us, that aren't, you know, they're thinking of the Bible as the book of the past that used to be important, but showing that today, that they stood with the Bible, that they financially sacrificed to see this museum come about, that it wasn't just a small few that made this great private museum come a few steps from the nation's capital, but that it was a massive group of people from all walks of life, all ethnicities, several different, I mean, all denominations, I mean, that there were no boundaries of people that would support this project. And so so anyone that gives to our 1 Million Names campaign will be forever recognized there in D.C. on our wall, and as well, any gift that they give on behalf of someone else that's gone before, or anyone they'd like to honor, such as the triplets that are on the way. So, so that's the 1 Million Names campaign, is that we would hope that this would be a giant statement to the world that this is not a book of the past, that this is a book of the present, and truly it's a book of our future.
And I long for that day. I long to walk into the Museum of the Bible and see incised on the walls the names of our children, Lily and Justin, because really, after all, it's for their generation. We want to raise up a generation that knows the Scriptures and knows the freedoms that the Scriptures provide for all people, even those who don't even believe in God. The Scripture says, are created in God's image, people that should be loved and respected, every single life, every single human being. And so I want to encourage you to join the 1 million campaign. What is the website again, Michael, for them to join that?
To join one, the number one, MN, as in 1millionnames.me.
Okay, excellent. So I want to encourage you to go to that website. I want to encourage you to pray. And then we want to pray for these leaders, like Lauren and Michael, who are out there every single week sacrificing, chasing airplanes, going to event after event, because they believe in the vision. They believe in the Word of God. They believe in the Scriptures. And I want to thank all of you who are listening to this program for your support and for your prayers for them. And I want to encourage you to tweet at your friends. I want to encourage you to put it on your social networks. Let the world know that the largest museum in the world is under construction, and it is all for the Scriptures, and it is all for the Bible. I want to encourage you to do that. Of course, you can watch other programs like this on our website at www.christianthinkers.com. Last question, Lauren. How can we pray for you in your community engagement with Museum of the Bible?
Yeah, we're just trying to let people know about what we're doing with the Museum of the Bible. It's a relatively new project, considering that it's a $1 billion project. That means we need a lot of people engaging in this. And we started just 6 years ago, so we're relatively new in kind of the scope of this massive endeavor. So I just get to go and tell people about what we're doing, which is a lot of fun because I'm super passionate about it. I love the Bible. It's changed my life and has been a part of my everyday life and reading for over a decade. So to get to tell people about the Bible and this incredible project that invites others into that engagement has been a great joy of mine. So yeah, I just get to tell people about what we're doing and hopefully get people on board with this vision of inviting all people to engage with the Bible.
Excellent. We invite you to engage with the Bible. We invite you to follow these wonderful people, pray for them, pray for the leadership at Museum of the Bible, and then do your part. I hope you'll do what I did and what Audrey and I, my wife and I did, when we first heard this incredible vision last year. We went home and we said, Lord, what would you have us do? What can we do to support the vision that all people, Jews, Catholics, Protestant, those of no faith and every faith, can engage with the Bible? What would you have us do? The Bible is a diverse book. And this is an exciting time. It's an exciting time to be a Christian. It's an exciting time to see these kinds of things come to fruition with such excellence. And so I want to thank you all for taking time to stop by our studios here today at Houston Baptist University. We're honored to be partnering with you. We're excited about the Museum of the Bible. Thank you all for being here with us today.
Thanks for having us.
At HBU, we influence the culture around us by challenging our students to put their beliefs into action every day.